Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Dr. Terry Wardle.
The last time we were together, we talked about navigating difficult times. Actually, we talked about the terrain of the even though, referring to that passage in Psalm 23 where it says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And what I was trying to emphasize the last time is that there are difficulties that come our way, some simply because we're human beings that face struggles in life, and others because we're in Christian ministry and the evil one or other kinds of people begin to rise up in opposition to us, that we go through these times of seasons of difficulty. I refer to that as the land of the even though. And a lot of people struggle in that place, and I certainly have. And when things get difficult, it's easy to react rather than to respond, to grab control rather than to surrender, to try to take care of things ourselves. And we do that because it feels so uncomfortable or unfair and unjust. But what we're talking about here is, how does the Lord want us to navigate these even though times of our lives when things are difficult? I mentioned to you some difficulty I've been facing. It's no more or necessarily no more important than what I'm sure you've been going through. It's just the struggle that I've been facing for several months. Some opposition arising, being uninvited to do some things in a particular location. And there have been some things said that simply I don't see as true and have, well, they've had the potential to hurt me personally. And during that time, as I went to prayer, wanting the Lord to deliver me, holding, if you remember what I said the last time, suffering in one hand and joy in the other, I found myself asking the Lord to deliver me. And I guess part of me was saying, if you can't, Lord, I think I can. I think I could rise up here and really take care of this. And in the midst of that season, I was awakened once in the middle of the night, and I went down to my desk about 3 o'clock in the morning, and hanging right above my desk is a hand-carved rendering of the Lord's Supper. It was given to me recently as a gift, and as I was struggling and thinking about what I was going through, I lifted my head and I could see this amazing carving. Oh, it must be 10 by 24, and it's similar to that beautiful painting, the Lord's Supper. And the hands of Jesus are extended and his palms are open, and I looked right at that part of the carving, and suddenly deep in my heart, I heard the words, can you drink this cup? Wow, can you drink this cup? I started to remind the Lord, look, this isn't about me. This is about what someone else is doing, and I'd like you to deliver me from it, and I would really like you to take care of this, and I want it to end, and make sure you let them know that they have not been treating me right. And once again, the Lord spoke into me, can you drink this cup? And all of a sudden, I realized that the Holy Spirit was telling me that even though this is a difficult time, there's something in this for me. That if I navigate this the way Jesus would want me to, that it could actually change something in me that apparently needs transformed. Now, I want you to be very clear on this. I wasn't interested in getting something out of this difficult time. I just wanted to get over this difficult time. But the Lord began to speak into me that spiritual formation takes place through everything that occurs to us. That's part of Romans 8, 28 and 29. For God causes all things to work together for them that love the Lord. And then 29 says, in order that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. And so I was suddenly looking at something I hadn't planned on, that even though this is unfair and in many cases untrue and most certainly unhealthy, that how I navigate this could really be a source of deep spiritual formation in my life. It also reminded me of a scripture in Ezekiel 14 where God says, I want to own your whole heart. And if idols of the heart have arisen, ways in which you are seeking to control the deepest needs and longings of your life that are not of me, that he wanted to get them out. And he even allows difficulties to rise up to challenge some of those idols of the heart. And at the end of Ezekiel 14, there is a little phrase that grabbed me, and it says that God does nothing without cause. And suddenly I sense the Lord telling me to look to the passion, the story of how Christ faced opposition, and that I would find there a way to navigate the difficulty of my own life, or as I've been saying, the even though time of my own life. Now, I have to admit that the whole time I've been facing this, I had to hold on to suffering and joy. If I let go of either one, I would be off course. But as I was holding suffering and joy, the Lord spoke into my heart and said, "Can you drink this cup?" I believe the Lord knows when we're going through a difficult time. He cares about difficulty. I believe the Lord wants to rise up to put our feet on solid ground, but also he wants us to relinquish the opportunity for this to bring some change to us, some spiritual formation, that we would be more like Christ in the midst of navigating a difficult time. Now, I want to reemphasize, it is easy for me to rise up, to get loud, to take control, to make sure people know what I think about a certain circumstance, especially when it's bringing discomfort to me. But over the years, I've learned that there are other purposes, that as I hold suffering and joy, that God wants me at times to be willing to drink a cup of difficulty, because it will not only serve me, but how I navigate it could serve someone else. And so the Lord began to really press me to look into the passion narrative, to not simply look at the carving above my desk of the Lord's Supper, but to look at the narrative of how Jesus walked through the passion, how he handled the, quote, even though period of his own life, and that I would find something there. So I'm going to share today some of the things that I found, and maybe they'll be helpful to you when you're struggling through a difficult time. Now remember, the posture is always holding suffering and joy, and then saying yes to the Lord that with his help, we'll endeavor to drink the cup that we're presently facing and allow it to begin to form and to shape us. Now, if you look at the passion of the Lord, there's some things that really stand out. And the first thing that we see Jesus doing as he's moving toward the cross on the night of his betrayal is he goes before the Father and he prays. Recently, one of my colleagues that I am so grateful for in my life, Jody Watson, a theologian, gave me a medallion, and it's a medallion that in several ways says on both sides, make sure you're spending time in prayer. God has bound himself to us in prayer. Prayer somehow makes a difference in the way we're navigating through the even though periods of our lives. And so what did Jesus do? He went to a quiet place, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to pray. Now, as he was praying, it was also clear that he was struggling and grieving. We see the scriptures talk about the fact that he struggled to the point of sweating drops of blood, meaning this wasn't easy for the Lord. Prayer was tough, and he was touching what he was about to experience and his own sadness and his difficulty in the midst of this. And it's a lesson that when we are praying about difficult times, it's not only okay, it's important that we talk to the Lord about, well, how this is hitting us. What are our disappointments and discouragements? What is it costing us? What are we losing in the midst of this? Grieving's not only okay, but it's a way to connect very deeply with the Father. And so in our prayer, like Jesus did, we ask the Father if he can deliver us. We talk to the Father about this difficulty. And then in the end, there is a period in which we need to surrender and say, but I give this over to you. I relinquish the outcome into your hands, trusting that as I talk to you about suffering, that I can hold on to joy, that you're present in this, you'll use this, and to some degree, in some miraculous way, you'll change me because of it. The other thing that we see that Jesus did in the midst of this difficulty is that he stayed connected. He took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he took three of them further along, hoping that they would be awake and that they would pray with him. Unfortunately, in this case, while Jesus wanted that connection, they fell asleep. Three times he tried to wake them up, but they didn't seem to understand the importance of this. I'm so grateful that during the difficult time that I've been facing, many friends have come my way to listen, to support, to give true words of encouragement. Many times I don't know if they know they're doing it. They're touching suffering and joy, also talking about how they care about the difficulty, also reminding me of the Lord and his deliverance. It's important that we have people around us. In a recent event, there were a number of people that showed up, some traveling from a great distance, simply to say, we know what you're going through. We're praying for you. We're going to stay connected to you. We want you to know you're not alone in this. Wow. That was so helpful, and that's such a biblical model. Okay, three things I've mentioned so far. When we're walking through difficult times, make sure you pray. It's going to help you stay centered to God. It'll enable you to feel the resource of the Holy Spirit present with you. Let the desperation of your heart birth deeper prayer. Grieve. Tell the Lord what you're going through. Be very specific about what it's costing you and the ways in which it hurts. Don't hide it. The Lord wants to receive it. And connect to some people. Allow them to come around you, to provide you with, if you will, guardrails and an honor guard to protect you during a time of difficulty. Now, I need to highlight two other things that we see the Lord doing, and one of them certainly is that the Lord entrusted the outcome to the Father. You know, recently as I was going through a difficult time, I started to think of all the things I could do. I would rise up and I would make sure that I was reckoned with. And the Lord reminded me that when he was at the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He entrusted it to the Lord. He opened his hands to the Father. And he believed that relinquishing this matter to him was the best posture to take. The rod and staff must have comforted Jesus while he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And so the Lord reminded me that an act of entrusting, God, I give this to you. Now, I want you to understand that I have given and taken away many times. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm not going to fuss over it. I'm going to allow you to handle it. I'll surrender to your will. And the next day I find myself thinking about it again, imagining what I should do, allowing myself to get all riled up. And then once again, I go before the Lord and I have to entrust it to him. So I'm grateful that the Lord allows us many do-overs. But it's important that we do entrust it to the Father. We pray, we connect, we grieve, and then we say, your will be done. I see your rod. I see your staff. I'll entrust this to you. Now, there's another step that we see Jesus doing in the midst of his own trial and difficulty. He came to the point where he said to the Father, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is important for us. It not only is something that reminds us of our own vulnerability and our own need for the mercy of God, but forgiveness also takes us out of prison of bitterness or anger and enables us to rest more securely in the arms of the Lord. I'm interested that after Jesus prayed in Gethsemane and he connected with some disciples to support him, and he grieved his loss and entrusted it to the Father, that at the worst of times when he was on Calvary, instead of shouting out in bitterness or warning them of judgment, he asked the Father to forgive them. So the Lord reminded me that ultimately I need to be praying for those that are causing me some trouble and be more than willing to forgive them, because I certainly am a sinner. I certainly have done things that needed forgiveness. And I would want them to be able to extend that same forgiveness to them. Now, this doesn't come easily, and I would warn you that many times we try to forgive too quickly without really touching the loss, grieving it out before the Father, spending enough time in prayer. But if we have, if we've navigated it this way, then there comes a time when we say, oh, Father, will you forgive them and help me to have forgiveness in my heart. Now, as I've thought about all this, I must tell you that I'm amazed at Jesus. He goes through this amazingly difficult opposition at a time when he's simply trying to help other people. And in the end, they rise up to take his life. And yet during that whole time, he stayed centered in the Father, trusting the Father's care, entrusting himself to the Father, and asking the Father to forgive the very people that were hurting him. That's rather amazing to me. And if ever I've learned that I'm not like Jesus, it's by looking to the passion of Christ and then saying, help me, Lord, help me. It would so easily happen that I could just take this cup and rather than drink it, just slap it aside and knock it to the floor. But Jesus says, will you drink this cup? This time of difficulty can form you. It can shape you. It can give room for the Holy Spirit to make you in some ways more like me. I'd rather simply be delivered. I'd rather the pain leave. I would rather someone else pay for what they've done. But the Lord says, can you drink this cup? Now, if I can depend on the Spirit, and again, I do it for a while and then take it back over and over again, but if I can stay in that posture, I believe there's an ultimate purpose in this, and that is that as we navigate difficult times trusting the Lord, it can help other people do the same. In some strange way, surrendering to Christ in the midst of difficulty helps other people surrender to Christ in the midst of their own difficulty. And when that happens, we are shaped and they are shaped, but also a greater purpose is served. And do you know what that purpose is? That we would bring glory to the Lord. That we would shed light on the wonder of Christ and what he has done for us and the expanse of his mercy and his grace. And that in doing that, it changes us. Now, I'm sitting at the same desk that I sat in that night when I looked up and saw this carving that I'm looking at even as we speak. It was given to me by Dr. Ben Franklin. It was a gift. And I received it with deep appreciation. But now I look at it with wonder. God seemed to have known on November 11th when it was given to me that about a month later I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would look at the Passion of Jesus and he would extend his hands to me and say, can you drink this cup? The cup of the difficulty that I've been navigating, and the Lord's promise has been that if we do, he'll shape us through the trial that we're facing. And so I wanted to share this with you. It's not an easy word to entrust ourselves to the Lord in difficult times, but it's certainly a biblical word. And this I know, that if you are not in a difficult time right now, you probably have gone through one in the not-too-distant past, and we'll face them again out in our future because we live in a broken world, struggles come to human beings, and the evil one will rise up to oppose us. It's important to know how to navigate these tough times. I pray God has blessed you in the midst of this. We'll look to being together again real soon. I do pray that you experience the Lord's face shining on you, that his grace overwhelms you, and that you'll rest in peace in the love of the Lord that is so deep and so wide and so high. God bless you.